Please turn in your Bibles to Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. I want to preach for a few moments today on the prodigal son. And I believe that the Lord has laid this message upon my heart for this meeting today. It's a very familiar parable, a very familiar passage of God's precious word. But I pray that the Lord will speak to all of our hearts through this passage of scripture today. Maybe there's someone here and you're a prodigal. You're far away from the Father's house, far away from the Lord. Well, my prayer is that the Lord will draw you to Himself this Lord's day. Let's read down the passage first of all. Luke's Gospel, chapter 15 and verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hard servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Amen. We'll end our reading there, knowing the Lord will bless the reading of his precious word to all of our hearts. Let's bow in a word of prayer and ask the Lord for his help as we come to consider God's truth. Father in heaven, we thank thee today for thy precious word. We thank thee for this parable. And we pray, Lord, as we come to consider the prodigal son today, Lord, that you would have a message for each and every one of us. Oh God, we thank thee for the love that's in the Father's house. We praise thee for the God of glory, who has compassion upon the wanderers, who has compassion upon those in the far country when they repent and turn from sin. And oh God, I pray today that there might be those in this house that will return to the Father's house, that they will come to Christ, find eternal redemption through the blood of the Lamb. How we thank thee, O God, for all thy mercies to us. We thank thee for the message of the gospel, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. O God, we thank thee that there's everlasting life for sinners today. We thank thee, O God, for the wonderful gift that you offer sinners. O God, we praise thee that it's a free gift, and it's a gift that if it's received will bring joy to the soul and to the life. Lord, I pray for those here in this house who are still in miserable sin. Oh God, that you would turn them from their sin. And oh God, even today that they will seek the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he is near. We just pray that you'll fill us with the Holy Ghost. We need thee, Lord. We confess that except the Lord build the house, they labour in vain that build it. Oh God, anoint us afresh, we pray thee. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. The real lesson that is brought out in the parable of the prodigal son is man's misguided search for happiness without God. Sinners today truly believe that they can find true and lasting happiness in this world without God. But men and women, that is a total falsehood, because true and lasting happiness can only be found in God through Jesus Christ the Saviour. In this parable, the prodigal son wanted the best life had to offer. And he believed that he could find that life away from the Father's house. This young man truly believed that he could find the best life had to offer out in the world. So he packs up all that he has, says farewell to his father who loves him, in search for what he believes is true happiness in the pleasures of the world. There's no doubt that he had the world's pleasures for a time. However, the prodigal soon realized that the world's pleasures soon comes to an end. And by the time we come to the end of the parable, he's running back to the Father's house, realizing that true happiness cannot be found in this world and in the pleasures of this world. I believe that everyone in this world wants to find true and lasting happiness. The sad fact is, however, that many think, indeed the majority think, that they can find lasting happiness in this world without God, without Christ, and without salvation. And that, men and women, is a vital mistake, because the Bible says that the pleasures of sin are but for a season. And while there is pleasure in sin, the pleasure will come to an end. My friend, sooner or later, you will learn that this world has nothing to offer you but sorrow and heartache and misery and unhappiness. These facts can all be seen in the parable of the prodigal son. I wonder, is there someone here today and you're seeking pleasure in the world? You're seeking pleasure in the things of this world. Oh, my friend, let me say to you today that very soon you're going to find out that those pleasures will come to an end. Because while they may give joy and happiness for a time, it's false. It's a delusion. Because sooner or later, it will come to an end. And instead of you finding true and lasting happiness, you will find an emptiness in your heart and in your soul. Maybe you've got to that place where you have an emptiness in your heart. Then realize today that you need Christ, because that's what you do need. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one who can fill the void of your unhappiness. He's the only one who can give you true and lasting happiness. Not only in this world, but in the world which is to come. Now, as we come to consider the prodigal son today and his search for happiness, there are a number of things that I want you to notice. And I pray that God will write his word upon your heart and upon your soul. I want you first of all to take a look there with me at verse 12. And I want you to notice the demand of the prodigal son. We read in verse 12, "And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." I want you to underline the little phrase, "give me." This was an arrogant, selfish demand. It was disrespectful and displayed no love or honor whatsoever towards his father. By this demand, the prodigal son was holding his father in contempt. Now I want you to notice that. The prodigal son demands here. He says, give me. He did not even say, please give me. Or, I pray thee, Father, give me. You see, this was not a request. Rather, it was a demand. Father, give me. And did you notice that it was not a demand for some of his future inheritance, but it was a demand for all of his future inheritance? Because the prodigal son said, look at it again, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. In other words, give me all that is due to me. I want it now. The truth was, at this point in his life, nothing was due to him. His father was still alive. You don't normally get an inheritance until your father dies. The prodigal son was not entitled to anything until his father had passed away. Therefore, the prodigal was demanding something at that moment that was not rightfully his. Why, can you see the arrogancy of this young man? What pride filled his heart? The prodigal's heart was not right. This young man's heart was not right. Of that, there is no doubt. You know, men and women, prodigal sons and prodigal daughters don't ask. They demand. That is one of the marks of a prodigal. And their hearts are so filled with pride and disrespect for anyone, especially their parents, that they even demand things that are not rightfully theirs. And of course, of it all, when you study this portion of Scripture, you see that when the prodigal demanded, that his heart was not right with God. And of course, when prodigals demand today, it shows us that their hearts are not right with God. You see, if a man's heart is not right with God, then his attitude will be all wrong. Prodigal's attitude here was displaying a heart that was not right with God. My friend, let me ask you a question today. Is your heart right with God? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior? Or is your heart far away from God today? Are you found demanding? Are you found there's one who is seeking the pleasures of this world? You see, there was only one thing in the heart of this young man, and that was to get away from the father's house and to get into the far country where he could live in sin and for the pleasures of sin. But you can see his demand here. But notice something else. Take a look there again, and you will notice his deception. The prodigal son was deceived. And he was deceived in this way. The prodigal son thought that having material riches and going into the far country with those material riches would bring him lasting satisfaction. When he said to his father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, the prodigal son believed that this inheritance was all that he needed to satisfy his soul. Because as soon as he received his father's inheritance, we read in verse 13, and not many days after, look at it, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into the far country. It says here that he gathered all together. Now that indicates to me that his intention was never to go back home again. As far as the prodigal was concerned, he did not need his father anymore. When he left home, he left lock, stock, and barrel. He was saying farewell. All he needed, in his opinion, was the material inheritance that his father had given him. Oh, how he was deceived into thinking that the material things of life would satisfy his soul. But he did. That's what he believed. That's what he truly believed in his heart. When he left the father's house, he would have no need for the father's house again. He would have no need for the old man again. He wasn't intending to go home again, you see, because he believed with all his heart that this inheritance would satisfy his soul and satisfy his life. You know, there are many men and women today, and they only look at the things that they see, and they only desire the temporal things of life, and they think that if they can have all the temporal things of life, that will bring them lasting satisfaction and lasting happiness. But they're wrong. And not only are they wrong, they are deceived. Sin will never satisfy the soul of man. The pleasures of this world will never satisfy the soul of man. The only problem is that they think that. They believe that. Because they will not listen to reason. This young man here in the story would not listen to reason. He could not have been spoken to. And there are many young men and women, and older men and women indeed, who are like him. My friend, where are you seeking to satisfy your soul today? Do you think that the material things of life will bring you true and lasting happiness? Well, they'll not. No matter how much wealth and riches that you have, it will never bring you lasting happiness. Lasting and true happiness is only found in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who is the only one who can satisfy your soul's need. Isn't that what the Bible says? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. And today, my friend, you need the Word of God. You need the Word, the incarnate Word, Jesus Christ. The Bible says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And the reason why the Lord Jesus came into this world was to seek and to save that which was lost. And he died upon the cross, and he shed his precious blood in order to redeem us, in order to save us, in order to satisfy our souls. And thank God, I would exhort you today to come and taste and see that the Lord is good. Men and women, prodigal sons and prodigal daughters have to learn the hard way, unfortunately, because they have deceived themselves into thinking that their way is always right. Nothing that the father could have said and nothing that the father could have done could have stopped this younger son from going into the far country, because this younger son was deceived into thinking that true satisfaction in life could only be advanced through his plans and in the far country. I wonder, am I speaking to someone here today? And you're in the far country and you're far away from God. Maybe I'm speaking to someone here today who's thinking about going into the far country. But certainly I'm speaking to someone here today who believes that pleasure will satisfy your need, that wealth will satisfy your need. Well, it'll not. It'll not. And that's what we learn here from this parable of the prodigal son. But notice something else here. Take a look there again, and you will see very simply the demise of the prodigal son. After the prodigal son went into the far country, his life began to go downhill very quickly. Now, if you're familiar with the parable, you will know this. Indeed, it was one disaster after another. His demise came very suddenly. All the plans that he was going to achieve with his father's inheritance all came to nothing. Once the prodigal left the father's house, he was on the downward road to disaster. Now, in his demise, I want you to see what the prodigal son lost. Did you ever consider what he lost when he went to the far country? Notice in verse 13 that he lost his dignity. It says in verse 13, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into the far country. And there, underline it, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Sin took hold of this young man's life. There was no sin that he did not commit in the far country. And you know, sin, as the old hymn says, will bring you farther than you want to go. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. In verse 13, when it says that the prodigal wasted his substance with riotous living, it means that he went to the house of harlots. That's what it means. And I want you just to think about that for a moment. Within days, the prodigal son had left the purity and godliness of the father's house and had entered into the vileness and wickedness of the harlot's house. Within days of leaving the house of sanctity, he had entered into the house of sin. However, although at this point the prodigal son was down in the harlot's house, his demise was not yet over. He still had to go down further. After he lost his dignity, look at the beginning of verse 14, you will see that he then lost his wealth, his father's inheritance. It says, and when he had spent all. Underline those words. We're not told how much the father's inheritance was. We're not told how much wealth this young man had when he left home to go into the far country. But we learn this, that very soon after he had entered into the far country, that he had spent all that he had. No doubt he had great plans for his inheritance, but his plans never came to pass because he lost it all. He lost it all. Every penny of his father's inheritance. He lost it all. And then if you take a look at verse 15, you will see that he lost his freedom. It says in verse 14, first of all, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. He lost his freedom. And then if you take a look at the end of verse 15 and 16, you will see that he lost his self-respect. Because it says at the end of verse 15, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. My, for a Jew to end up feeding pigs and eating the very husks that the swine did eat, my, was unthinkable for a Jew. But the prodigal son did not care. He had lost all self-respect. Do you see his demise? We are not told exactly what period of time went past from the prodigal left the father's house until he was at the pig pen. But it took place very quickly. And you know, the sad reality was this, that this young prodigal, he almost lost his soul. Do you ever consider what the father said when the prodigal son came home? Take a look at verse 24. For this my son was dead. For this my son was lost. Notice how the father described the prodigal son when he was in the far country. He described him as one who was dead, and he described him as one who was lost. Oh, my friend, if you choose the world and the pleasures of the world, then you will lose everything. You will lose everything. And if you die in the far country and die in your sin, then you will lose your soul. The Lord Jesus Christ said, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Sin, you see, eventually will bring you down. And sin will eventually rob you of everything. I wonder, is there someone here today and you're seeking the pleasures of sin? And you're living in the pleasures of sin and living for the pleasures of sin. And everything at the moment seems to be going all right. Well, my friend, it's coming to an end. Make no mistake about that. That's one of the truths that we learn here in the parable of the prodigal son. Things may seem to start off well, but they will end in disaster. Your life will end in disaster. And young person, that's why you need to listen to your Christian parents. That's why you need to listen to Christian friends. That's why you need to listen to your Sunday school teacher and your Bible class leader and those that have spent a wee bit of time living in this world. Because many of us, you know, have learned by experience. Don't you learn by experience? You take the advice of your elders and remember this, that there's no lasting pleasure in the things of this world. Here's a young man who had everything. He had wealth, he had riches, he had a father who loved him, and that is brought out, and we're going to see that in a moment. He had a father who loved him, and yet he chose the far country. And when he got to the far country, it all went desperately wrong. It will all go desperately wrong in the far country. Now, it may take a year, it may take longer, but eventually, sin will bring you down. Oh, I pray today that your sin will not bring you down into hell, that you will come and be wise and seek the Lord and find eternal redemption through the blood of the Lamb. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. The Bible says sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. But notice something else here. Take a look at verse 17, and you'll notice his decision. The decision of the prodigal son. We need to read verses 17 to 20. And when he came to himself, he said, "How many hard servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hard servants." And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. In the prodigal son's decision, we notice four things very quickly. His acknowledgement, verse 17. He acknowledged that the father's house was a place that could satisfy his every need. In that text, he says that in the father's house there was bread enough and to spare. Underline that. That's very important. When he was at rock bottom, when he was sitting at the pig pen, he acknowledged that there was bread enough and to spare in the Father's house. Oh, sinner, today in Christ there's bread enough and to spare. In the gospel of grace there is bread enough and to spare. Maybe you're at rock bottom today. I pray to God that you are at rock bottom. Because, my friend, the sad reality is this, that until you're at rock bottom, you will fail to look up. You need to look up. You need to realize that you need something more than what is in your life just now. You need Christ. Christ can satisfy your every need. Thank God, with Christ in the vessel, we can smile at the storm. And the wonderful message of the gospel is this, that the Lord Jesus Christ gives everlasting happiness and everlasting joy and everlasting peace and everlasting contentment. Do you want contentment in your life? Do you want peace in your life? Then come to Christ. Now none but Christ can satisfy. None other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in thee. Oh, let me point you to the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Thank God. There's bread enough and to spare in the Father's house. In Christ today, he will satisfy your every need. Oh, not only his acknowledgement, look at his realization. He realized that he had sinned, verse 18. I have sinned against heaven and before thee. And he was prepared to confess his sin and to repent of his sin. I wonder today, as we come to the end of this service, are you prepared, my friend, to confess your sin to God? But not only confess your sin, repent of your sin. Here we have a young man who realized that he had failed. He realized that he had sinned. You know, this young man, when he was leaving home, he wasn't thinking about grieving the father. He wasn't thinking about annoying his dad. He wasn't thinking about the sad home that he was leaving. He wasn't thinking about that at all. He was only thinking about getting into the far country and living for sin and for the pleasures of sin. But now his circumstances have changed, and now he begins to acknowledge that he has sinned. My friend, I wonder today, those of you who are far away from God, prodigals, living in the far country, you not realize today that you've sinned against God, broken his commandments, trampled and under his laws. Do you not realize today, will you not acknowledge that you are the sinner? And then, if you look at verse 19 again, you see his humiliation. He says, I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He humbled himself. He was willing to humble himself. You know, the Bible says that if we humble ourselves before God, that he will exalt us in due time. And then in verse 20, you see his action. Because at the beginning of verse 20, we read these words, and he arose and came to his father. You know, that's a very, very important, a very, very important verse. Very, very important verse. The prodigal could acknowledge that there was bread enough and to spare in the father's house. The prodigal could realize that he was the sinner and even confess that he was the sinner. He could even humble himself and recognize that he had done wrong. But until he arose and went back to the father's house, his situation would never change. Do you ever think about that? He had to arise. He had to get up from the pig pen. And he had to return. You know, that speaks of true repentance. He acted on what he said. That is true repentance. True repentance means taking action. True repentance means doing an about turn, turning away from sin, getting up from the pig pen and returning to the Lord and seeking the Lord for salvation. It's not enough to say, I am a sinner. In order to be forgiven, you must turn away from your sin. You must get up from your sin and go and come to the Lord. I wonder, is there someone here today and you've been living in the far country now for many years? My friend, it's time for you to leave the far country of sin and come to Christ. I wonder, will you make that decision today? You must do something. If you sit in the seat and do nothing, if you continue the way that you're going, then there will be no change. There will be no change. Coming to church is not enough. Sitting in the pew, listening to the messages, is not enough. If you want to be saved, if you want to be forgiven, if you want to be cleansed, you must take action. You must take action. You must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You must accept him as your Redeemer. You must confess him before men. You must repent of your sin. That's the action that every sinner must take if they're going to get to the Father's house and if they're going to find eternal redemption through the blood of the Lamb. Now, notice something else here. Take a look with me at verse 20 to 24, and you'll see his delight. The prodigal son's delight was that when he came back to the father's house, the father welcomed him with open arms. Look at verse 20. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring in his hand and shoes in his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. The father was waiting for him. The father was looking for him. And when the father saw him coming, he ran and fell on his neck and he kissed him. Then he prepared a feast for him and clothed him in his best robes. And then they rejoiced together. Oh, what a picture we have here of a loving God. My friend, the Bible tells us that it's not His will, the Lord's will, that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Lord loves you today, and He loves me, and it's a mystery why He should love any of us. He doesn't love our sin. The Father certainly didn't love the sins that the prodigal was getting up to in the far country. But He loved His Son. And when He saw His Son returning, and He was waiting and watching for Him to return, He ran and He fell on His neck and He kissed Him. Oh, there's a welcome for you today, sinner. There's a welcome today for you in the Father's house. The Lord will save you. He will forgive you. He will redeem you. And He will give unto you everlasting life. And I'll tell you, there will be joy in the presence of the angels in heaven. There will be rejoicing if you, the sinner, would come and trust Christ as your own and personal Redeemer today. It's not what the Bible says. Indeed, that's what this whole chapter of Luke 15 is emphasizing to us. Look there with me at verses 5 to 7. And when he found it, that was the sheep that was lost, he laid it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Over one sinner that repenteth. Do you realize that every time someone gets saved, every time someone repents, that there's a prayer service in heaven, that there's rejoicing in heaven? Oh, thank God today. You can make heaven rejoice by coming and trusting Christ as your own and personal Savior. My friend, young person, older person, whoever it may be, the far country has nothing to offer you. Maybe there's a young man here today, a young woman, and you're just longing to get away from home. You're just longing to get into the far country. You're just longing to get away from the restraints of your father and mother. You can't wait. Oh, listen. Contemplate the parable of the prodigal son. It's truth. It's God's truth. There's nothing for you there. There's nothing for you there. Only sin and misery and heartache and sorrow and maybe even hell itself. Maybe even hell itself. Oh, my friend, come to Christ. Come to the Father's house. And the Lord will give you everlasting joy and everlasting peace. Let us all pray.